to keep trying to find a comfortable place. And it was pretty hard. That's what I need. Some of it don't stink. What we got smells pretty bad. Turn with me this morning, Book of Joshua, the 3rd chapter. Joshua. Joshua 3. I guess I come here this morning, or went there here this week, because of all the anarchy around our country, lawlessness, and tearing down of our monuments, what for whatever that's worth, but it's another part of lawlessness. This won't tear something up. That's real heathen. In the worst sense. Real heathen. Read a few verses here. And Joshua rose early in the morning. And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then shall ye remove from your place and go after it, following the covenant and the ark that was bearing it, and the ministers that were bearing it, as they had been instructed. And yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 1,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you've not passed this way heretofore. Never been here before. This is something brand new. And I'm going to show you the way, though. Very clearly, you do as you're instructed. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And this was a wondrous thing. They had crossed over the Red Sea. That was a wondrous thing. But it seems like this is even more wondrous in that this old river was flooded. And the waters were coming down. And they're about to step into it bearing this ark of the covenant. I'm sure these people could hardly believe it when the waters quit coming down. You'd really have to have a surge of faith if you just thought there wasn't anything to it. These people were seeing something that was miraculous. And the Lord has mentioned it many times in the scripture, so I know it must have been something great to it. He said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And I shall command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. Go back to verse 4 for a couple of thoughts. He said, yet there shall ye be. Shall there be a space between you and it, the Ark of the Covenant? I thought on this, and I've said before, people in our day especially have become too familiar with God. Now, this is just the Ark of the Covenant. It was a box that had the testimony in it, the covenant that God had made with Israel. And yet they weren't to be too familiar with it. It was a fearful thing. It was a glorious thing. It was of great majesty, because it was the word of the Lord that they were bearing. Now, if they weren't to get too close to this Ark of the Covenant, they would keep their distance back from it. What do you think the Lord thinks about people getting so familiar with Him and He being some little God that's to rise up to their all their wants in their likes, and the things that they'd have him do like a little genie in a bottle, just call him out when you need a little help, especially with things of this world. Want something a little better. It makes me think of when Moses went up into the mount, and the mount was on fire, and Moses was waiting on the word of the Lord. And the Lord said, go down, Moses, and tell them, don't touch the mount, lest they die. This wasn't any playful thing. It sure wasn't any playful thing to the priests when they got to the edge of that swollen Jordan. It was out of banks, you understand. Everywhere. And they were to wade off in it and just stand there. And wait. And the waters began to pile up. And I don't imagine they were too familiar at that moment. The law was carrying the word of the Lord unto the people. And it was a fearful thing, because the people understood that they could not keep this law to the full extent of it. Any man can understand that. He doesn't have to be too educated. All he has to do is examine himself. But we have come to an age when men are so familiar with God that they no longer have any fear, and they testify to it openly. But it is a fearful thing. The people standing in the river, when they began, the ark began to cross, and they began to cross with it. And they were standing in the mid of the river, and the waters were piling up. And then they were commanded, come out. come out of the watery grave that you're in. Now keep in mind also that they were standing on bare ground. It said dry ground. Get you 12 men and pick up some rocks out of the bottom of that river and carry them out there and set them up. Speaking of coming out, on over in chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry ground, that the waters of the Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all his banks, as they did before. Still flooded. And they were to let their children know that it was the Lord that done this great work. Back in Deuteronomy, the 27th chapter. Yes, in verse 1. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. That's forever been so. It's what you're supposed to do. Keep the commandments. Moses were now preparing the people for that day that Joshua was going to care over. I often think about old Moses. Lord, let him go up and look over into the promised land. But he wouldn't let him go. But he did see it. I think he saw more than that. He saw the Lord in the promised land, ruling over all of the world, over the earth. And he said, and it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shall set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of the law. When thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. So the promise was sure. Here we are. We're at the Jordan. 3 days, gonna go over. Now I'm sure they're wondering how in the world are we gonna get over this flood. Water everywhere. To understand it was a ford in the area, but it was flooded. And said, therefore it shall be when ye be gone over Jordan that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster, and there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. Well, what are they supposed to do? As soon as they got across that river, they were to worship God. And they were to set up these stones and write upon them the law. It wasn't just any law. It was a holy law that men ought to have been fearful of and ought to today be fearful of it. Not take the Lord loosely, but in all seriousness. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law plainly. We want it to be visible. We want it to be magnified. It's the law of the Lord. Never was any other like it. Never will be another like it. It's the only one. And Moses and the priest, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed. Don't take this thing too loosely now. This is serious business. Take heed, brethren, and hearken, O Israel, this day. Thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. And it's him you're going to have to do with. Take heed. Thou shalt therefore obey, because you are the people of God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord our God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And then he gave them the curses. And then he gave them the blessings. But in the cursing in verse 26, he said, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, amen. You're going to be one people. You're God's people. That's what he just told. This day, you're God's people. He's carried you across the Jordan. That's what he's fixing to do. The promise was sure. And I think when they crossed that old Jordan, when they got on the other side, I'm sure for a few minutes they knew it was so. And I'm sure also that they were ready to build that altar. The altar unto the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, verse 17. He said, they shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images. And they say to the molten images, ye are gods. Looking back to the stones that they set up, and he didn't want them to carve them out. He wanted them to be natural, we might say, and stack them up and plaster. He didn't want them to build some great cathedral there. He didn't want to build something that would give people the idea that it ought to be something glorious. The glory was in the monument, all right, but it was in the words that were written upon it, the law. He didn't want them to get superstitious about these stones. The Lord was concerned about the law and the command that the people had to do them. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. And it said in 18, verse 18, said, hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf is my messenger that I sent? Who is blind is he that is perfect, and blind is the Lord's servant. Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening of the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. And the Lord gave the law and told them to write it upon these stones. They wanted it to be plenty visible. And how much greater magnification can you have than the Lord himself coming and keeping every jot and tittle of that law, that holy, righteous law. And he did so magnify the law. This is the word of the Lord. You do well to keep it. In the Psalms 114, a short psalm, but the psalmist tells the whole story. Said, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from the people of a strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. He is ruling over. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee? O thou sea, that thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back, ye mountains that ye skip like rams, and ye little hills like lambs, tremble thou earth at the presence of Lord, at the presence from the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into standing water and the flint into a fountain of waters. And all the people drank from it, and all the animals drank from it. The water that the Lord had provided. Isn't it something how many times he used the water? Here's a watery grave. They come up out of that watery grave. But the Lord provided plenty of water for them to drink in the desert and water their animals until they was all filled. And then the old river closed back up. The sea closed up, swallowed up their enemy behind them that was so feverishly trying to catch them again.
law is a fearful thing to the unconverted. To God's people, it becomes a spiritual thing that is beautiful. And in walking in the spirit of that law, we are walking in God, in Jesus Christ. We are in Him as His people. What a glorious thing this ought to be to us, but also what a fearful thing it ought to be. I think even we ourselves have lost something of that reverence and that fearfulness. Do not take God as seriously as we ought to. That's a strange thing, this thing about the fear of the Lord and at the same time the joy of the Lord. But it's not like the world sees it. It's not like the world thinks of it. Our joy is more of a quiet, serious, sober joy that is an inward joy and an inward peace. Sister Joyce was saying as we came in, she came in the door, got talking about what heaven would be like. And we don't know a whole lot about it, do we? Except that we know it's going to be a place of perfect peace and absolute joy. But as we see it pictured all through the Bible, but especially in those first chapters of the Revelation, it's not people getting up and jumping over benches, is it? But it's the four beasts and the 24 elders bowing down. And what are they doing? Oh, they're worshiping the Lord. But how are they worshiping the Lord? Oh, they're saying, holy, holy, holy. Day and night. Now some smart aleck is going to say, well, I thought there wasn't any night there. Well, it's relative terms, aren't they? Telling us that all the time, every minute, is going to be spent in some fashion worshiping the Lord. I was reading in a book this week about the temple. And the writer of that book brought up the singers. What a choir. Hundreds of them. I don't know, maybe thousands. I don't really know how many there were, but there were at least hundreds of them singing the Psalms. And that is a picture again of heaven. And the choir that's going to be there, how many of you think is going to be in that choir? You can't number them. as the stars of heaven and the sand of the sea. Can you imagine what a sound that's going to be? And all perfect voices. We think this day and time that some people can really sing. They won't be able to hold a candle. Light a matchstick to the voices of those that are going to be sounding forth the praise of Him that redeemed them from their sins. What a day that will be.